Did you know your food cravings are actually a doorway to your subconscious? They are. We tend to see cravings as something bad or something we just give into mindlessly. But when you embody your cravings, you're able to notice they're just blossoming from a certain place that has a certain need and needs your attention. Join me on Wednesday, May 29th, as I unpack this in a new webinar called Cravings Destigmatized. In this webinar, I'll help you learn the difference between a nutritional craving and an emotional craving, as well as how do we use cravings to get in touch with our unmet needs and any of our unconscious, unprocessed emotional experiences. It begins at 4 p.m. Eastern, and everyone who registers will get a replay. You can find the link in the episode details, and you can also go to www.holisticlifenavigation.com and click on events, and the information is right there. Hope to see you there. On today's episode, I'm going to be navigating my descent from social media and sharing with you what I've learned so far. Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast, where we explore life through the lens of somatics. I'm Luis Mujica, a somatic educator who teaches people how to find safety in themselves. Your turn to learn begins now. It's been a while since I've come on here and just sat here. Just me, no guest, no team, just me speaking to you about a certain topic or experience. And I've missed it. I like letting my mind unfold alone. As much as I love the dopamine hit of a team and a conversation and a really amazing guest. And I've had some pretty amazing guests on so far. This has been a pretty cool year. What interests me the most lately is feeling my mystery again. When I got into nutrition and when I got into somatics, what always rubbed me the wrong way, I should say more with nutrition, what always rubbed me the wrong way between me and my nutrition colleagues and even what I was studying is this exactness, this certainty, this formula of this will equal this. And I think because of growing up in the body I grew up in, I know many truths can exist at once. I don't believe in one absolute truth. So a lot of the framework around nutrition, a lot of the focus on diet and even herbal healing was so formulaic. It was so coded in a language where this should work like this for this body. And there was always something about mystery missing for me. Like, what are all the unseen forces working to conspire for someone's health? And it's what led me into somatics, because I was getting bored of the formula. I was getting burnt out of educating 10 people a day about what foods do what and how much nutrition is in an apple and how much sugar is in blueberries compared to apple juice. And as amazing as it was to educate people on nutrition, it was just starting to burn me out because I was missing the mystery. I was missing the part that says, let's see what happens. I was missing the psychedelic piece of, well, how do you relate to your body? And what does it feel like when this being of food is inside of you, digesting and becoming your body? This amazing cosmic experience. And that reminds me that I will be doing a slow group this July. For 6 months, I'm going to be focusing on trauma-informed nutrition and teaching nutrition through an animistic lens, where we see food as a being and we get curious about our relationship with that being. So by the time you're hearing this episode, you should be able to register for that, should you want to join us. So that information is in the link below. So somatics gave me this a beautiful ability to be with mystery, kind of see, well, how's energy moving through an individual's body and where does it take us? And this is leading up to my descent from social media, because up until 2020, I was not someone that listened to the news or went on social media or really knew much about what was going on in the world. I knew what was going on in my inner inner world and my body. I knew what was going on with my family, my friends, my community. I'm a localist at heart. So I really was feeling the land and the landscapes here, both of the people and the mountains themselves and the rivers and the creeks and the fog, the morning mist, the flowers, the sun as it touched my skin. So many relationships I have with so many beings. And I've always felt more connected and more rooted to those relationships than the digital ones or the global ones. And it was in 2019 that I burnt out, that I had so many clients that I didn't know what to do with. And I thought, I really think it's time I start an Instagram page and just share what I learn in private practice every day with people. So I began that, I think maybe through 2019, I might have posted 8 or 9 things and deleted them all because I had zero capacity to be seen or disagreed with at the time. And then in 2020, before the pandemic, I did my first 4-week course. It was at the time, it was just me. I didn't have Marika. I didn't have a team. I had Marika. She was assisting me with the scheduling, but I had no one to help me with the course. And it was 4 weeks long. I had 19 people. And I remember when it was over, I thought, this is the way for me. I want to become an educator. I don't want to be in private practice anymore. And as we all know, the pandemic happened. So millions of people were suddenly forced to be home with a government paycheck. And they were forced to be with their bodies and themselves and their relationships and their children. All the things we could avoid with work and busyness, we were forced inside. And as much as I don't like government intervention, I truly don't. Like I said, I'm a localist. I love the medicine that came with the lockdown, which was we were suddenly forced to be with ourselves. And what did that do to us? Some of us are still recovering. Some of us haven't recovered. Some of us loved every fucking moment of those months/years, depending on where you lived and how you were affected. I, for one, adored it. I loved the quiet streets. I loved the pause of commerce and production. And I think it was easy for me to love it because I live in Woodstock, New York. So it's just paradise here. So I wasn't in a city stuck in a little kind of cell of an apartment. I had a beautiful home, big mountain in the backyard, was able to just spread my wings and go outside. And, you know, we had a pretty low crisis in terms of the amount of people affected and the severity of it. But the medicine of being with yourself was potent. And I saw that because the next course I did, which was during the lockdown, I believe it was April of 2020, we were flooded. We had 180 people. The next one was 350. The next one was 420. And we pretty much peaked between 360 and 420 ever since. And simultaneously, I was writing every day on Instagram because I thought, well, people need this more than ever now. And my Instagram account just exploded. I went from a couple hundred people, which felt like a lot for me, to 1,000 in a week. And then to, I don't know, 80,000 in a year or 2 years. I can't even remember. It was so quick. In the meanwhile, what was fascinating for me was I'm not a public person. I'm really good at public speaking. I'm good at connecting. I'm good at being myself in public, but I'm not a public person. I really prefer to be an observer. I love being on the fringe. I was talking to Camille about this yesterday when I was going on a walk with her in my ears. She lives in Virginia and I'm in, like I said, Woodstock. So I put her in my earbuds and went for a walk together in separate states. And we were talking about marginalization. It's a term I don't like, even though I respect it. And her and I are going to be talking about this more because she does DEI work, which is, again, something very controversial and something that I like and don't like. And we're going to have a beautiful, nuanced discussion about it together. But we were preparing for the discussion, and I never liked the term marginalized. I always preferred minority because minority is factual. Minority says, yes, compared to the majority, you are less than what is mainstream, what is major, what is quote normal. You're opposite of that. You're in a smaller category. It's factual. When you hear marginalized, it's often overcoupled with being oppressed. It's often overcoupled with being underprivileged. And I don't like that because it's just not true. Not all marginalized people experience, I should say, not all minorities experience oppression. And not all marginalized people experience trauma from being marginalized. I did, so I can speak for that. I experienced trauma from being marginalized, from being an intersex bisex man. However, I love my marginalization. I loved growing up on the fringes of society. I loved only fitting in with the misfits. I couldn't even fit in with the misfits. Those have always been and continue to be my people. The liberals that make no sense to a group of liberals. The Republicans, I can't stand the other Republicans. I love people that don't fit in with where they're supposed to because I didn't growing up. So it fascinates me and I feel a kinship with them, regardless of their skin color or their political leanings or religions. I don't care. If you're a misfit, we will probably connect very quickly and easily. And if you're not a misfit, I still have this wonderful gift of being able to connect with most people. So life is easy for me on that level. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because I love being on the margins. I love being at the edge. I love looking inwards at myself and looking outward at people and society and groups. So being public was never something that I was good at or really wanted. I once upon a time thought I wanted to be a rock star, not like a typical rock star, but more of like a queer pianist that sang very sad, beautiful, delicate songs, similar to Oenone. I would see myself more like her. And that didn't happen, and I'm glad it didn't, because I developed myself publicly through this work instead of through something that could possibly have been more egoic. We tend to praise musicians and celebrities in a way that we don't quite do with therapists or teachers. It's a different kind of praise, a different kind of relationship, and I'm grateful for it. All this to say, I didn't ever want to have a giant following. That wasn't my goal. My goal was to educate and help people. And I think in that intention of I just want to serve, I delivered a damn good service. I mean, you can go on my Instagram now and find, I don't know, 1,300, 1,400 posts over the last several years that are really good, potent posts. They're like little books. And the potency of my sharing, because I just wanted to educate, though I wasn't hiding things behind a paywall, I still don't. Of course, I have paid events, but I don't hide the education behind a paywall. I give it freely. Is, I believe, what attracted so many people to follow me and some to pay me and work with me. And I say all this because when you're on a conveyor belt, when you're on a river of production and of success and of excitement and of just beautiful meeting and being met, it's easy to not check in and see where your roots are going. Are you being uprooted or are you rooting in deeply? Up until a few months ago, I was rooting in pretty deeply. I didn't really have an issue. And then something changed for me. In February, I was in Costa Rica teaching at this incredible retreat center with an incredible group of teachers who I really admire. You know, Bessel van der Kolk, Esther Perel, Jack Saul, brilliant human beings. I felt something shift in me. I was in the presence of my elders. So all the pioneers of trauma and somatics and relationships who came before me, who informed a lot of my journey and inspired me. And sitting in their presence, sitting in their energy, seeing how these people were still really grounded. They were really down to earth. They were really rooted. And I was feeling into their roots and being fascinated because a lot of people I've met over the years who are popular or famous are very uprooted. They're so dependent on being mirrored by the audience. So dependent on that mirror being shown back to them, so dependent on praise that they lose their sense of self and their lives become one giant fawn response. Their careers become one giant fawn response. And these people at the retreat weren't doing that. They were just being themselves. They were walking around barefoot in their shorts and simple t-shirts and drinking smoothies and laughing and sitting with students at dinner and talking about philosophy. And it felt so beautiful. And it dawned on me that a lot of these people had spent decades developing their craft and their philosophies and learning away from the public eye. Unless they were in front of people viscerally, in front of a live audience, there was no Instagram or social media. There was no YouTube. They were doing this in private practice. They were doing this for private companies who hired them. They were developing in the cocoon of what used to be the tactile world, where you couldn't access someone unless you're with them, in front of them in that moment. And something about that reality transmitted into my bones. And I realized, wow, I spend years also in the cocoon developing. However, this somatic work and this education, this podcast, all this I do developed publicly. And I felt this yearning to go inward, felt this yearning to be much more mysterious, to be much deeper, to be a little more obscure, not in a contrived way to be cool or to look strange, but in a real way. I want to obscure. I want something to be in front of me. I want a boundary between me and the public. And I was trying to think, what is that boundary I'm looking for? And then I felt it very clearly. It's social media. Hey, my friends. I created a space that is affordable, accessible, and anyone is allowed to join anytime, and it's called the Library Membership. The Library Membership is an online private platform that hosts dozens of my webinars, my somatic practices, private mini lectures, and movement practices. There's also a monthly sound healing, and you'll be invited to a weekly Tuesday live mini practice with me and other participants. You'll also be invited to be a live audience member in our monthly HLN team podcast recordings, where you'll take place in the Q&A that happens off air after the episode is filmed. For more information on this membership, click on the link below or go to holisticlifenavigation.com and click on membership and then library. You can join right now and you can cancel or pause your subscription at any time. I look forward to seeing you in there. Instagram has served me as much as I've served through Instagram to this moment, because it's garnered me an incredible following, a vibrant newsletter, and people that respect me and will have me on their programs and will have me educate for their businesses and retreat centers because I have a large following, so they can see that my work, quote, counts and it lands, which is beautiful and difficult, because I remember what it was like for a long time when I didn't have an Instagram and no one wanted to give me the time of day because I didn't have proof that I did anything in the world and that people liked it. So there's a lot of potent medicine out there that we'll never know, which I think is also quite beautiful. And I think of Simone Gray Soul, who says that Instagram should be looked at like a resume, a living resume, which I love. It's a place where you post what you're doing, what you're believing, what's current for you. And people can scroll through it and get a sense of where you've been, where you're going, and where you are. And that is what kept me on for so long, because I used it like my journal, and I used it like my resume. And it did what I intended when I started using it intentionally, much more consciously. It led the right people to me, and led me to the right people. And I just have such a beautiful web of friends and colleagues now, thanks to it. However, I started noticing that I felt like the square. I felt boxed in. I felt constricted and confined. I couldn't figure out why. And I thought about scrolling culture. I thought about dopamine. I thought about how the average teenager is interrupted 250 times, that's 250, each day by their apps. I grew up with severe ADHD. I say I grew up with it, not that I don't have it still, I do. But I found many new ways of being with it that aren't through medication. And growing up with it, I can't imagine if I had an app, if I had a phone that interrupted me 250 times a day. I couldn't imagine. So I started asking myself, how often am I being interrupted by Instagram? Because I actually don't use it in the way of scrolling and watching videos, you know, sometimes, but very rarely. I use it to go on, educate, and get off. However, I realized so much of my time was being devoted to it. I would spend hours writing many posts that I would pre-schedule for the week or even for the month. And these posts, like I said, they're not simple, fun things, which they could be, and some could be seen that way. They're really potent, deep medicine. It's like writing a book. And I was asking myself, why am I not writing my book? And I realized, because I'm writing a book every day. Every day I write a chapter or two or three on Instagram. What would happen if I pulled my energy from there and let it sit in my body and build some potency and write my actual book off the screen? What would happen if I stopped writing every day and stopped thinking everywhere I was and everything that came through my mind, that I could turn it into a post, that I could use this moment to teach? What would happen to my brain and my body if I had a break from that? Well, it's been several weeks since I took that break, and I'll tell you, it feels amazing. I feel settled in myself in a way that I haven't felt in the last 6 months. And I want to be clear when I say that. I feel pretty good. I will often tell people that I don't suffer. I'll feel pain and grief, but I truly don't suffer because I don't hold on to it. I let it move through me however it wants to, thanks to these practices I've learned and I've developed. And I noticed there was just this constricted, confined, square-like feeling in my body that was kind of the undercurrent of my day. And it was Instagram. It was the urgency to post. It was the burden to deliver material. It was the burden to read hundreds of comments, to tag people, to make stories. It was becoming a job. And Africa Brooke said on one of her podcast episodes, "Instagram is not my job." She said this months ago. And I remember the moment I heard her say it, I felt so lit up. My whole body was turned on. And it said, wow, I like that. I want some of that. And so I thought, what is my job? And I got really clear. My job is my service. My job is when I teach my course impeccably to hundreds of people around the world. My job is these slow groups that I'm so devoted to for 6 months at a time, where I have this beautiful group of bodies from all over who want to explore parenting or nutrition or masculinity. I love my membership. Oh my goodness. My membership has transformed and changed my life. If I could just do my membership and be able to pay all my employees and myself, I would just never do anything again. I'd probably crawl into the cocoon of my membership and die happily. So I have these incredible places and spaces where I deeply deliver and have nuance and have expression, and it happens in an obscure place. It happens in a little place. It's just for those people that are there with me in that real time. And there's something about that transmission that I just fucking love. And there's a lack of nuance and a quickness and a limited capacity, let's say, for nuance and connection and being wrong and being right and transforming opinions on Instagram, just because of the way it's set up. And it's, as I say it, I contradict myself, because I've learned so much and I've seen people learn so much through me and I've learned so much through others. And again, the way it's set up to have these kind of one-liners, simple responses, agreements, disagreements. Meanwhile, the quote influencer, which I am not, I refuse that title, is getting a huge dopamine hit from being hated or being praised. And what happened for me a few months ago was profound. I posted that I am no longer vegan and why. And I never know which posts of mine are going to be really big. So I just write whatever and I see what happens. And I didn't expect this one to be that big of a deal. And I looked, there were 30 comments. The end of the day, around 8 p.m., I look again, there's like 320 comments. I think now it's around 400 something. It was fascinating because these comments were a beautiful blend of vitriol and of absolute praise and understanding. And as I read these comments, as I read, and I maybe read 10, when I read the ones of vitriol, I felt nothing. And I don't mean numb. I mean, I felt sane. I felt grounded. I felt my breath didn't change. My belly didn't get tight. It stayed soft. I just kind of looked at it like, oh, that's what they think. And when I saw the praise, I felt nothing. I thought, oh, that's what they think. And I went to bed and I slept beautifully. And I haven't looked at the post since. Do you know how remarkable that is for me? Someone who has spent their entire life fawning and people-pleasing and avoiding being disliked and hiding from the public because of fear of controversy, to see how many people were upset with me and how many people were in love with me from that post and to feel no rush from either side felt like a graduation ceremony to me. That was the moment I felt in my body, I'm done with Instagram. And I might be done with Instagram. I have no idea. I might use it, you know, I don't know, a couple times a year or once or twice a month. I have no clue. I could go back to every day. In this moment, I feel very done with it. Because what I'm interested in exploring is I'm interested in being in spaces with people who want to be in space with mystery, with curiosity, with nuance, spaces that lack certainty, spaces that aren't politically correct, spaces that aren't trying to make people feel comfortable or good, spaces that are honest, spaces that are activating, spaces that are new and inspiring and controversial and edgy. Those are the spaces I thrive in. And that's how all my spaces are. And so I'm welcoming all of you listening to this and anyone that finds me on Instagram and sees that I'm not on it right now, enjoy what I've made there and then go deeper with me. Join my newsletter. Listen to my podcasts, as those of you here are. I'm beginning a weekly YouTube video because YouTube lets me go deep into a topic. I can discuss something really deeply and you can sit with it. It's not a one-liner. It's not a 5-minute post. It's a receiving of a conversation with myself and with you. And then you can respond with your own nuance. Come to my events. Come to my retreats. Come to my free virtual events I do every month. Check out a slow group. Go deeper with me, because I'm going to be spending this year really nourishing the roots of my work and the roots of my company. And those roots right now are the people funding it, the people that show up to the practices, and the people funding it through their energy, not just money. So the free practices, the sliding scale ones, the affordable webinars, some of them which are free before they become replays. So I'm saying all this because it feels so nice to not require to be seen. It feels so nice to not be hinging on the dopamine hit of praise or the fear response of hatred. It feels so good to not be on the treadmill of production. And the story is, if I'm not on Instagram, my business will go down the drain. And I'm open to that. I'm open to watching to see what it does, how it changes, what shifts, what doesn't. I'm interested in seeing what happens during this break. And if this break just becomes a new way for me, or if it's simply a break and I go back when I'm called to. I don't believe in indiscriminate boundaries, like no contact with somebody or something. I believe in boundaries that are somatic. When my body says enough, I listen. When my body says I want it again, I listen. And I listen with a parent mind. I listen with a discernment of a parent to say, are you sure you want that? The thing you call desire looks a lot like stress to me. Let's feel into that. And I uncouple. Is my draw to something out of an urgency and a tension and a fear? Or is it a soft unfolding like a flower blossoming, take it or leave it? The latter is what I'm trying to cultivate in my life right now. And going into the mystery, having space and time away from being public every single day and speaking to the public every single day feels really nourishing to my soul. And I say this and I laugh in my mind at myself because I only have, 129,000 people following me. I mean, I have colleagues with millions of people following them. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing to see when people become known how they have the capacity for more and more and more. And some don't. Some still do it, but they're getting burnt out. All I know is at this point in my life, as of today, I don't have capacity or desire to be on social media. And I'm going to continue to follow that listening and that instinct with the parenting mind. So see where this lands in you, and I'll leave you with a little practice. When it comes to being seen on social media, notice what happens in your body. When you think about writing a post, when you think about posting a photograph, when you think about going on and writing a story, something where you're putting yourself out there, notice what your body does. Does your body tense up? Does your body soften? Does your body remain neutral? If your body tenses up, I want you to know these parts of your body that are tensing up, these parts are the ones that are expecting something bad to happen. They're in the future, imagining something terrifying, something with your audience. You can put your hand over one of these parts that are constricted and even say out loud, what do you think is going to happen? And you'll be amazed at what it can show you. If you do have this constriction and you're asking it, what's going to happen? It shows you. Let it see where it is now. Grab a pillow. Look around the room. See if you've eaten today. And if not, eat something really grounding. Is there a friend you want to go for a walk with or talk to? See what it's like. Just to slowly let your body feel where you are rather than feeling the future concept of what's going to happen from being seen. Instagram has been my greatest teacher because my history and my trauma was all around being seen. And from those experiences, my body came up with a story that being seen is dangerous, that being seen will get me hurt. So now that I have shown myself many different parts of myself, popular, unpopular, controversial, typical, and nothing bad has happened, and I don't even care at this point, means something big has uncoupled in me. The concept of being seen equals something bad has uncoupled in me, and it doesn't grip my body and my reality like it used to. So maybe my whole intention for Instagram was a story just to help me work through my own fears around being seen. And now that I've worked through them in a really deep way, they don't seem to exist, I'm curious to see what spills out of me and how. What form my expression will take next and how it will be met. And either way, I don't have a story about how it will be met because it doesn't matter. I feel fine. And however it's met, I know I have the capacity in me to meet it. That's the end of today's episode. Now let's take a moment to notice where we feel the episode in our bodies. Close your eyes. Take a breath. And let whatever wants to come up, come up. And remember, those sensations hold the wisdom that we're looking for. If you want to go deeper, visit holisticlifenavigation.com. Hello, everybody. It is the time of year to begin registering for one or two of my slow groups that begin in July. My slow groups are these special groups where I focus on one topic and we deeply unpack it over the course of 6 months. So these are highly nuanced, deep dive, advanced groups. These are excellent for those of you who have taken my 6-week course or who just want to focus on one particular topic through a somatic and trauma-informed lens. The two that are opening up in July, or will begin in July, are my embodied parenting group and my embodied nutrition group. The embodied parenting group is just like it sounds, learning how to parent from your body, learning how to ground yourself in your parenting so you're not parenting from a reactive, triggered place, but from a much more conscious place so you can actually find joy in your parenting instead of it being a total hellscape like some of you have told me it is and I've experienced it myself. The other group is an embodied nutrition group. This has been requested for years. For the past 4 years after students complete my course, they say, can you please do a course on nutrition and make it longer than 6 weeks? So finally, I can say, yes, you can. And I can. And I did. It is a 6-month unpacking of the intersection between trauma, nutrition, and somatics. How do we recover from stress and trauma via food? How do we relate to food as a being and not just some object on the plate? What's the biochemistry of food? Why is it not the best for my blood sugar to have toast, but lentils are just fine if they're both carbohydrates? All of this and more will be unpacked in this 6-month group. To register for these groups, please go to my website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click groups, or you can click the link in the episode details below. Registration closes on June 1st. It is only open through May because we need the month of June to prepare everybody for July. I'm looking forward to this deep dive with you all. I'll see you there.